Okay, so the goblin horde is rushing towards you. What do you do?
My monk charges forward to meet them in melee combat.
My barbarian will enter rage and charge the goblins as well.
Can my paladin join their goblin smashing party?
Of course. And what is our warlock doing?
I call upon the power of my plus one podcast of slaying and use it to rain fire down upon the goblin scum.
What? No.
You have to be kidding me.
Everything is burning.
Seriously? Wow. I do not have a good feeling about this session anymore.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the show. My name's Scormus, and today we'd like to talk a little bit about, well, it's a controversy that came up in the tabletop role-playing community at large, but specifically around Dungeons & Dragons a couple months ago. And here's the thing. It won't go away. Now, when it first came out, I thought it was an interesting discussion. I sided with one side of the conversation as opposed to another. But I'll get into my reasons for that. But at the time, I didn't really feel it was worth discussing so much because, well, Ginny D was right. And there was no point in saying otherwise because she was just right. I mean, categorically so. I mean, it was just obvious. But it dies down, then the conversation comes back up, then it dies down, then it comes back up. So, I'm a member of a fairly large group on Facebook, which talks about, yes, on Facebook, I'm old, I know, but they talk a lot about Dungeons & Dragons memes and other role-playing games, but mostly Dungeons & Dragons. And overall, it's a pretty good group, but this conversation sparked up recently, again, and it was amazing to see how many people just were absolutely offended by what she had to say. People I never would have thought would think such things, but okay. Now, what are we talking about? Well, in early December, if you go to Ginny D's YouTube page, she's a YouTuber, cosplayer, all that. She's pretty well known in the D&D community. She did a video commenting about a tweet that she had made on Twitter not that long before. We're talking like December 2nd when she put up the video. And just paraphrasing, what she had said was that, you know, you don't have to make optimized min-max characters in D&D to have fun. It's just a game. So she plays a warlock, that's an elf, that doesn't even use Eldritch Blast, which is like the core spell for warlocks. They all use it. And as I play a warlock, as my current main character in D&D, that's, you know, I get it. You know, Eldritch Blast, it's like, you know, you don't have it, you're like cutting off your right hand. But that's not the only way to play a warlock. And sure, there's a lot of abilities built around Eldritch Blast that you can take as class abilities and whatnot, but you don't have to. Okay? Pretty clear cut that you don't have to do these things. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. What it came down to was, it wasn't so much about her character in specific, it's just the conversation of, well, aren't you harming your group if you're not playing to the optimal ability of your character? Because D&D, it's all about killing! What is it? Is it really? Because I've been playing since the late 70s, when the games were the D&D was a lot more basic back then. Okay? And yes, there has always been combat as a part of Dungeons & Dragons. In fact, Dungeons & Dragons grew out of a tabletop wargaming sort of game. You know, miniatures and whatnot, like the original Warhammer. Chainmail, that's what that was. It was a tabletop battle simulator. You built out your armies, you put them against other armies, and you fought. So, yeah, D&D has combat. But it's also, and here's one thing they said, let me make this one point real clear, and it'll open things up. I think it'll open people's minds a lot. Tabletop role-playing games. That's what we're talking about. Dungeons & Dragons is a tabletop role-playing game. Show me where that says combat. Tabletop role-playing game. In Dungeons & Dragons, where does it say combat? It says Dungeons & Dragons. You know what I do see in there? Role-playing. Now, that's not to say you can't role-play and have combat and play optimized characters. Of course you can. I play optimized characters or, you know, as best as I can. My warlock is, well, pretty darn badass. He's good at killing things. But he can go whole sessions without killing a single person on purpose. I add on purpose because we got this little flavor thing going on that part of he's got this spooky vibe about him because of his patron and things that are unimportant, little creatures that are unimportant or unimportant NPCs around just fall dead at random. Not all the time, but occasionally you'll be standing there outside of a shop and a bird will fall out of the sky dead. Or he'll go into that shop to check on his friends who are doing the shopping because he usually doesn't pop into shops for this very reason. And maybe one of the other shoppers will just fall down dead. Not an important NPC, mind you, just somebody in the background will just kind of fall over dead. And that's caused role-playing complications for him, such as the town where he lived near wouldn't let him in to live. He could come in occasionally, briefly, to do like some brief shopping, go to the market, and get out. They wouldn't have him living amongst them because it was all the mayor could do to keep the townspeople from lynching him, because they all thought he was cursed or some evil demonic, cultist. I'm not saying he's not, but that's for a story for another time. Future. Point is, it was his flavor. We went whole sessions where nobody fought nothing because we were role playing, because that's what you do in a role playing game. And there are people in our group that are absolutely not optimized at all. And that's fine because they're playing a character that's fun for them. And it works out. It's great. Everybody's happy. The dungeon master works with it. Tries to put us on adventures that aren't going to be a problem and that can be fun for all. Because if you build around adventures where it requires it, everybody is completely optimized and is at the peak efficiency and can kill the fastest and the best. But if that was the case, only a few of us would actually be having to carry the whole rest of the team. And that wouldn't be fun. But our dungeon master works with us, crafts his adventures in a way where everybody can have fun. Everybody can feel like they're contributing. And the cool thing about it is that the people that are not playing optimized characters still are extremely helpful in the other things that they can do, the other stuff they bring to the table. It isn't all about swinging swords and flinging spells, although clearly that is a part of the high fantasy of Dungeons & Dragons. But where this is a problem, you see, is all these people that keep popping up saying, well, Ginny D and anyone thinks like her is doing it wrong. Nah. No, they're playing D&D. This is D&D. This has always been D&D. You're wrong! I've been playing for and I know all about it. I've been playing longer than you. And I'm telling you, this is Dungeons and Dragons. You play however you like. Would you like, now I've mentioned how my warlock is pretty tough. He's pretty beefed out. He is really good at what he does, which is killing things. It's kind of what his patron wants him to do. That's why he's built that way. He's all about killing stuff. Or at least that's where his skills lie. Would you like to know about the character I had before that? He was optimized in another way. He was really, really good with a specific barbarian build. The Naked Barbarian. I don't know if you know of this particular 5th edition build, but the idea being is that you set up your attributes and choose your... make certain choices in it so that your character has really, really high armor class while wearing virtually nothing. Thus, the Naked Barbarian, running around in a loincloth, or often even less. And so I had a Naked Barbarian build. And my Naked Barbarian was really good for as long as I kept him, which was like to 3rd level, before I got bored and decided to do something different. He was also a halfling. That's not super optimal. But he was fun. And the only reason I stopped playing him is because I felt like he was treated as too much of a joke character. That's not what I was going for. In specific, being a halfling, I could focus heavily on constitution and especially dexterity, and then also a little bit towards strength and charisma for the intimidation factor and all that. Because yes, he could be intimidating. You have an axe-wielding naked halfling screaming and raging and chasing towards you. And not be intimidated by that. I dare you. But he was treated as a joke. And so that got to be kind of unfun. And we found a way to write him out of the story, replacing him with a creepy, tall, brooding warlock. With things dying around him. A lot. And I have more fun with Frank the Warlock than I was having with my barbarian. But see, my barbarian was not a one-shot, non-optimal build. Let me tell you about one of my earliest D&D characters. His name was Den. Den was deaf and mute. Now, I'm sure a lot of people would say, well, why would you do that? Why would you make a fighter, as he was a fighter, that is deaf and mute? Well, because it was a challenge. I felt it was a challenge for me to roleplay that, to try and communicate with the group to make it work. It was a very hard role-playing challenge for me because I don't know that experience. I'm not deaf and I'm not mute, obviously. But this didn't go over super well with my group because they weren't happy with the frustrations this could cause. So my game master kind of messed it up and made him not deaf. He could hear, he just couldn't speak. Let me keep that. Okay. So now the challenge was entirely on me. I could hear them. They could communicate with me. I had to find a way to communicate with them. So this is what, it was kind of a happy balance, and it worked. We played for years between that and my paladin, who was constantly just barely holding on to his paladin hood. I wasn't a very good paladin back then. I've learned, but over the years, I've played most of the time. I've played characters that are suboptimal. Sometimes because I want a challenge. Sometimes because it fits the character concept for the story I wanted to tell. Because let's be honest here. We're playing a role-playing game when we play Dungeons & Dragons or really any other TTRPG. It's a group of people getting together and telling a story together. Sometimes it's more game master focused. We're playing in their story, their campaign, tweaking it as we can with our personalities and the way we play our characters. But in other games, it's a communal thing where the whole group, including the game master, works together to write the story from the beginning, build the world together from the beginning. And that's the thing. It works out. And it's fun. You don't need these super optimal characters. Now, I'd like to point out a couple things regarding this discussion, which I think hammer home why the whole idea of optimal builds is so important. You know, why it is, you know, why that whole argument, I should say, is stupid. And it's this. Look at literature. Many of the great works, not just books, but movies, television, all of that. The greats of fantasy, specifically. Sure. You'll have some books where you'll have characters that are considered optimal. They're the best. They're built perfectly for exactly what they want to do. All right, great. That's awesome. But you also have a lot of characters that aren't, that simply aren't perfect. And which are the more popular? Which are the more interesting characters? Let's look at, for example, Discworld, Terry Pratchett's classic series. Rincewind, the primary character, right? He is the main initial hero. I mean, sure, other characters come and go, but Rincewind is the focus. Uh-huh. Tell me, Rincewind, an optimal character? Well, everybody out there who's ever read it would tell you flat out, no, of course not. He's no good at what he does. He's not a good wizard. And that's fine. Because over time, through the story, he can grow and change. You don't have to be optimal to tell a fun story. In fact, let's look at an opposite example. How about Rey? You know, from the sequel trilogy, Star Wars films, specifically Force Awakens, Last Jedi, Rise of Skywalker. Now, see, I don't mind Rey as a character. I thought she was fine. But a lot of people hate Rey. Why? Because she's a Mary Sue. She's good at everything. She never fails. She's super powerful and can't do any wrong. Well, that's not entirely true, but well, let's be honest. She's pretty optimized as a character. She learns quickly and is able to jump right on board. Boom, she's levels up super quick and it becomes super powerful, right? So the same people bitching and complaining about, if you're not optimal character, you're hurting your group and you're hurting the game, you're playing it wrong, are mostly the same ones saying that Rey's a Mary Sue and Star Wars sucks now. Hypocrisy much? Look, I get it. You want to play D&D as a combat-focused game. Cool. Go murder hobo all you like. Oh, but we like to roleplay too. Cool. Go roleplay while you murder hobo. That's fine. Feel free. If that's what works at your table, great. But it doesn't work at every table. It doesn't work for every player. And as Ginny D said, it's just a game. And she will play it with her friends however they like. Their enjoyment of D&D, how they want to play it, doesn't hurt you in the least. How I play my characters, whether they're optimized badasses like my warlock, or not optimized, like that fighter from way back when, and so many others, both optimized and not optimized, whatever, in between. I was playing how I wanted to play, telling a story that I wanted to tell. I wanted to embody a character, pick up that role, and play it to the best of my ability. And I did, and continue to do so, and will continue to do so for many years into the future. And I honestly don't care what any of you think of that.
Well, so why are you bringing this up now then? I mean, that debate, you know, you're the one bringing it up, aren't you?
Well, no, I'm actually responding back to other people that brought it up, because when I saw this spark up in that memes group, the comments had already been closed by a moderator because of abuse against people. It was a lot of fighting. So I never got to say my piece there. So I'm saying it here for you. I like to share. Point is, the people who are bitching and complaining the most are the ones saying, you're doing it wrong. Ginny D doesn't know how to play. Okay. And you're gatekeeping. You're saying that the game can only be played if you're playing it optimized, if you're playing it correctly, in your opinion. That is gatekeeping. But these people say, oh, no, we're not gatekeeping. Ginny D and the people who don't want to play optimized, they're the ones who are gatekeeping. They're trying to keep us out, tell us we're doing it wrong. Well, no, I'm not telling you you're doing it wrong, per se. I'm telling you you're wrong because of your opinion that other people shouldn't play it however they want to play. It is a game. Just play how you like. If you're at my table and you want to play this optimized freaking character, go ahead. Cool. That's what's making you happy. But the minute you say word one to somebody else at the table about how they're not playing their character right, you're gone, out of my room, out of my... You don't get to tell other people how to play the game. Okay? And that's what the crux comes down to here. Ginny D was being attacked because she played her character in a suboptimal fashion. So she said, effectively, fuck all y'all, I'm going to play the game how I want to play it, because it's a game. And now they're acting all offended by it. Now, you don't get to do that. You don't get to try to make the people who are want to play however they want to play. You don't get to say they're wrong and then say they're the ones trying to keep you from playing the way you want to play. No, you're doing that. You're the one attacking. You are the ones who need to sit back and reflect on your life. Go ahead and play your character however you like. I don't care. But the minute you tell somebody else at the table that they're doing it wrong, or somebody else on the internet that they're not playing it right because they don't play it your way, that's when I tell you to fuck off. It's pretty simple. And if you don't like that, well, fuck off. That's not gatekeeping. That's honesty. Go ahead and take your elitist opinions and bye-bye. Because, like I said, I've been playing this game a very long time. I've been playing role-playing games in general for a very long time. Longer than most of you have been alive, I expect. And I'm not saying that everybody I've met plays it the way I do. No. But I'll tell you this, that back in the old days, people really didn't care about optimal builds. I don't remember anybody bringing that up. You know when that started coming up? When MMORPGs started becoming big, like a couple decades ago. Because then, oh, the right build for raiding and the right builds for PvP, suddenly those are important. And oh, we got to bring that into our role-playing games. Thank you, 4th edition D&D. But that's not what role-playing games are about. Can they be? Sure. You want to be, you know, kill fest murder hobos? Have fun. Feel free. You know, I'll be honest. A little murder hobo is... Words are hard. Murder hoboism can be fun. But at the same time, there's a lot of different ways to play D&D. There's a lot of different ways to play role-playing games in general. And playing combat-oriented, optimized, build-focused min-maxing is just one way. So please stop trying to make it be the only way to play D&D. Anyway, so that's all I have for today. Hopefully I haven't lost a whole bunch more listeners, but, you know, I go on these rants and they're kind of hit or miss. Sometimes they do well, sometimes they don't. But the thing about this podcast is I'm just here to say what I feel. And that's what I feel. So, till next time, I'm Squirmus. May all your dice rolls be nice rolls.
Wait, guys, can't we talk about this?
Not a chance. We are through with you, Warlock.
And I'll be taking that accursed relic off of your hands.
No. Please. Not my plus one podcast of slaying.
What is wrong with you?
Seriously.
Can we just use it on him?
Okay, dude. The rest of your adventuring team has turned against you. They have hung up your warlock from the rafters of this abandoned tavern by his feet, and they intend to leave him here to die. And all you care about is that stupid podcast? Catch the hint, and roll up a new character. Maybe next time you won't light your fellow adventurers on fire? As for everyone else, I'll see you here next week.